Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast that wouldn't die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr is the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. Record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Entitled to see movies that don't suck.
I would tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
I was not expecting that.
After you've scrubbed all the floors in Hyrule, then we can talk about mercy. Take him away.
No!
We are going to die.
Yuff. My ship sails in the morning. I wonder what's for dinner.
It's a jacked up.
Join your host, Cam Sully, each week as he chats with special guests to discuss many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons.
Listener discretion is advised.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. Jacked Up Review Show.
Since I've been here, things I can't explain. I'm not the only one who thought there was a ghost in this house, Kylie.
What are you going to do against a hostile spirit?
I'm going to smash it in the face.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello.
This week, we have a special guest. Stu from the Stu World Order, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you two tonight?
Dynamite.
Exhausted. Exhausted.
We're on opposite ends of the spectrum there, evidently. Very upsetting. This week, we'll be discussing the horror classic Housebound, starring many New Zealand actors. Almost said Australian. That's not correct.
No, they don't like that.
They hate that.
The Kiwis are bringing it.
They're bringing it. No question. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. Aaron, what's the latest? You're drinking lavender soda from Grocery Outlet
Bargain Market. You know how they say don't go shopping when you're hungry? I went shopping. I was so thirsty that I ended up buying all these, like, a 4-pack of lavender soda, a 4-pack of, like, Cock and Bull ginger beer. Then they always have all these oddball, like, singles. I'm like, oh, they have the Lavazza coffee. I swear to you, I spent, like, $80, and 40 of it was just weird soda or coffees that I could drag.
Do you have a bargain grocery outlet in your neck of the woods?
Bargain groceries. I guess Aldi would be the closest. I don't know how national Aldi is, though. Okay.
Aldi's fancy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't know. At least there's no place I go that's lesser than that.
When I was in college, it was called the Canned Food Warehouse. Now, nothing fancy about that name.
That sounds like a kitchen.
You know what, actually, now that you mention it, now that you refer to a place like that, there's a place somewhat close to here called Peachin's, which was a big thing whenever I was small. I remember when I was a little kid, people would go to Peachin's and you would get like a 50-cent burger, and the floors were literally dirt. They had dirt floors. Yeah, okay.
But this is a chain and no dirt.
I'm always concerned about eating food that's considered like bargain food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why? What have you done to this food?
Right. Was it left out in the sun too long? I mean, why is this bargain? Very upsetting. That's all I can say.
But you can buy beer and wine there, because back in the old days when it was the Cam Food Warehouse, I once had a dinner party for my friends where we bought like a shopping cart full of bottles of wine, but no wine could be over $1.
When you care enough to send your very best, evidently.
If it's bad, you pour it out. We'd open it up and like, this is terrible. Let's open the next bottle of $1 wine. And we ate SpaghettiOs. That was the main course.
Nice choice. Dollar wine and SpaghettiOs. That's big living.
That's big. Nothing says you're either very poor or you're just poor in college. It also is the same thing.
You're either very poor or you've just given up.
That's basically what it is. When $2 Chuck is too bougie for you. No thanks.
I tried to get everyone to eat the SpaghettiOs with skewers. Like you had to go in and spear them. That went to the wayside because it was just one giant salad bowl of SpaghettiOs.
I'm trying to, this is not like an Eyes Wide Shut kind of situation, right? Where it's a bizarre, you had to wear masks, there's a code word.
There was a code word. No. I had Mormon neighbors. They would have said something to the landlord.
Everybody brings their own spoon.
Please. We're not sharing.
I once went to a party where you had to feed the person next to you. And it was no utensil. It was a no utensil grub feed where with your hands, you then were supposed to feed the person next to you.
Are these fever dreams? Where were you doing this?
Humboldt State. That was a fraternity situation. And we were also in togas. So.
Okay.
I feel like the kind of parties where you feed the person next to you with your hands ends in a lot of stuff that isn't just eating food.
That's exactly right. It's a key party at that stage.
That's what I was going to say. Did they take your key off of you whenever you got there?
That might have been their hope, but that was not what happened.
Weird. Okay, anyway.
Did you not go to college?
I went to San Diego State. We just drank a lot.
Apparently, was that a correspondence course that you were taking?
That is correct. I always tell people I'm a UCLA alumni because I took one extension course there one summer.
Nice.
There you go.
Wasn't that like our grandfather where you guys have to root for SC because he went there for a semester or something?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm a legacy.
You're a legacy. Let me in.
Exactly. Aaron. Good Lord. Give us your 30-second synopsis of Housebound.
First of all, before we do that,
please.
Famous things that have come out of New Zealand that were born in New Zealand. We got What We Do in the Shadows and this, right?
Well, all the Taika Waititi stuff. I mean, he did Thor Ragnarok. No?
Jojo Rabbit.
Absolutely.
Did he do that here?
I mean, he's New Zealand.
He is New Zealand.
Is he New Zealand? If I move to Italy and start shooting films, am I California? It's a California film.
Yes, 100%.
Kate Blanchett is New Zealand as well. Right? Who else? Who are other famous New
Zealand? I'm not talking about famous people. I'm talking about like movies that have come from there. Movies and shows.
Lord of the Rings.
That doesn't count.
Now it doesn't count if it's filmed there or if it's made by somebody that was born there.
I have very specific rules that I have not shared.
Oh, clearly.
It has to be organically New Zealand. I went to college with a girl named Mifanwi, and she was from New Zealand. So now there's three things.
How do you spell that?
M-Y something, something,
that's
something.
Okay, well, good. Interesting. Is that anything else about aspersions about the art scene in New Zealand?
I'm just saying, if you got something else, you go ahead and share. I mean, Australia for sure is more prolific.
Well, it's, you know, more people there as well.
Is that it?
They have koalas.
By cracky. By cracky.
By cracky.
Yes. All right. Here's my 30-second review. We've driven this car off into a ditch. So, angry girl is forced to go home and live with her mom with an ankle monitor. She looks fucking crazy at the beginning. Her poor mom and idiot stepfather, yada, yada, yada. She begins to suspect things are not quite the right in the house, especially when she hears her mom call in late night radio. It reminded me of that show, Coast to Coast, that used to be here. It used to be filmed in the Nevada desert. I don't know if anyone knows what I'm talking about.
We do not.
It's UFO, Bigfoot stuff. It used to be out of a bunker in Nevada. Anyway, so they're investigating. Good thing her parole officer also is a psychic investigator. So he's figuring things out. Yada, yada, yada. You got troll people living in the walls of your house. But it totally looks like something out of What We Do in the Shadow. So the very end is not that scary. The end. Thank you. Namaste.
Beautiful. Now, had any of you guys seen this before? Stu, had you seen this before?
Yes, I have found it on, it's not on Shudder anymore, at least that's not where I was able to watch it, but my wife and I just, we watch a lot of random ass movies on Shudder, and we just turned this on maybe 2 years ago, and just obviously I thought enough of it to bring it to you guys to do it for the episode here, but yes, I've watched it one time before.
Okay.
And
Aaron, you're
it.
Shaking your head vociferously.
No, I've never seen it. Never heard of it.
I saw this a year or two ago on Joe Bob. Show. So, which is, I mean, you know,
it seems
it's not
too
all
good
TNA.
For Joe Bob.
Right. He
and
does
no tits.
Of,
yeah.
He does occasionally. It's not all Castle Freak. Occasionally you get, you know, a real, I mean, arguably an artistic. You know, it's a horror comedy, so take it for what it's worth. But it's like a real good film, not just, you know, Switchblade Sisters or something. You know what I mean? So I saw it then, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was quite good. So it was a breath of fresh
air. I enjoyed it. And I had no idea that it was a horror comedy. So I thought I was walking into The Strangers or some effed up.
Okay.
The rocker dudes under the stairs. I didn't know what was going on. But as soon as you start telling me there's people on the walls, I was like, oh, shit.
It has real moments.
It has some real moments. The idea of people creeping around while you're sleeping is, of course, super disturbing. Although my house is only 1,000 square feet, so.
They're living real tight.
Real small person creeping around.
Well, yeah, because it used to be a halfway house. But every wall is a crawl space.
No, it was like a psychiatric hospital or something.
It was a halfway house for people who were trying to reassimilate into society. Was the way I took it. Is that not
all
right?
Maybe I thought it was Shutter Island or something.
I could have gone either direction. I thought it was a psychiatric place like Aaron did. I was on board with her with what she thought of the house.
Yeah, you wouldn't have all those files because halfway houses, you're there and right. You're leaving and going into the community and stuff. I mean, so I don't know.
Let's just jump right in with the highlights. Let's just start talking Boom. About all this good stuff. But I was laughing at the opening scene where is she a meth addict? Is that what we're supposed to think?
They say she is during the trial, but that never comes up during the movie. We never see her jonesing for anything. We never see her taking any drugs, but they say, oh, her methamphetamine and alcohol addictions.
I think she was feeding that to the attorney because that would always get her into a rehab instead of jail. Oh. That was what I was getting. They're like, we already tried that. She needs her parental supervision.
Well, she admitted to lying on something to get some kind of, you know, relief or some government assistance for some kind of, I thought it was like psychological issues or something. I'm trying to remember.
I thought you were talking about her women's cycle. I was like, what? If I move to New Zealand, I'll get compensation for having my cycle.
That is correct. That's my understanding.
That's exactly how New Zealand works.
I'm moving on.
They're very progressive.
Very progressive. I'm in favor of this.
Aaron, you need to go right now. Message to New Zealand. Absolutely. But they're trying to rob the ATM, and their plan seems not very well, you know, thought out. For example.
They seem to know what to do, because I often see these things where people steal the ATM and then they don't know how to crack it open.
Yeah.
Her mistake was Scooter Joe, who is just an idiot.
Who clobbers himself with his own sledgehammer. Yeah, because if he hadn't done that, they would have gotten away with it.
Absolutely. Well, I was like, that alarm's been going off for some time.
And when she goes over a speed bump, but the clearance on her car is so low that she gets stuck?
Yeah, she seems to get stranded on the speed bump. I didn't quite get that, but the movie told me that's what happens. So.
I thought it was the spikes.
No, she was going the wrong way of some sort.
Oh.
But I'd have just grabbed the bag and ran, right? At that, sorry, bro, you knocked yourself out. I'm deuces. I mean,
unless it's her car, then you're kind of a little screwed.
Well, it could be her car, and she could have, like, maybe she doesn't know or trust this guy enough that if she left him behind, he was a 1,000,000% turning her in.
Right.
So she had to murder him first. Right? Kill him and then...
It's very elaborate. Very elaborate.
Well, she just sat there and was like, I guess the cops are going to arrest me. So anything's better than that plan.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Now, I know over the course of the movie, we're supposed to kind of first hate her.
Yes.
And then kind of grow to hate her less.
Yes.
Is that the idea? Because she was awful.
She's insufferable for the first like half an hour or so of this movie.
She is pure shit to her mother. I was like, oh, Jesus. If it was me, I'd be like, who's the one that got into trouble? Why am I suffering? Take her back. Sorry. Take her back.
No question. She comes home from work and the house is just defiled.
Yeah.
Just thrashed.
She won't let them watch their TV shows. And they're like, okay. Our parents would have started throwing stuff and like pushed us outside just to violate us.
Wait a minute, say that again. Push
violate.
Just to violate you. Interesting.
Violate my probation. You are a dementor. You're a dementor.
You know, it was like that movie we saw. What was it, Session 9, where the repressed memories are starting to come out?
I'm having a Roseanne moment. I remember everything, Kevin. I know what you did last summer.
I know what you did last summer. Absolutely. Sweet Lord. What do you guys got? What are some highlights?
I liked it. Was like, at first I was like, is this an older movie? Because they said it at an earlier time, because there's the 1 hour photo. I thought that was kind of cool. Unless maybe this was filmed yesterday and New Zealand's just a backward country. Maybe they still have the photo hut.
Aaron's views on New Zealand do not represent, you know, the podcast.
Lord of the Rings doesn't count and they have photo huts. I hate it.
I hate it.
I would totally go to New Zealand. I would totally go.
No question.
They just don't seem to be bringing a lot. But, you know, they're like a little island. You know,
Stu, what you got?
I want to say one of the best scenes of this movie, and you talk about whether this movie is scary or not. The closest thing you really get to like a real horror scene is the part where the power goes out in the house and the lights are flicking on and off, and you see the psychiatrist Dennis just sitting there and the lights flick on and there's the ghost under the sheet just standing right next to him.
Yes.
And then the lights flick right back off. That was a really good scene for this movie that is, it's a horror movie that's not scary, but boy, it has that one really good, and it's not a jump because there's not a big like sound that goes with it, but it's just a really good catch scene.
It's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. There was one point where like cats are screaming and all the cats in my house just went on full alert. They were just like, what's happening?
I was watching it with my headphones on or else my cats would have done the same thing.
I mean, and I have to be honest, I'm not above a good jump scare either. When she's down in the basement and the hand comes out and grabs her.
Yes.
That was real. Absolutely. No question.
God, and I forgot about the terrible Hello Moto. Hello Moto. Remember how they used to just drive that into our brain back in the day? Hello Moto.
Yeah, the commercials. Yeah. I was just happy for when this movie came out that she didn't have the crazy frog ringtone.
What's the frog ringtone?
Oh, you would know it to hear it.
It would haunt your dreams. Let me ask you this. Let me go back to the house is a sty and someone's eating the meatloaf. In retrospect, do you think Eugene came down and ate the meatloaf? She was, yeah, but it was a whole meatloaf. I'm just throwing it out there. Who's to say?
Eugene didn't seem to do anything that left clues to himself, though. So... what? If he's been living in the walls, he's been eating things that they won't miss. So I think she just owned eating the meatloaf. I don't think that was Eugene.
Well, they said that the food would go missing and the electricity bills would sometimes be kind of out of whack. There were like little things that were occurring.
Yeah, but I don't think a whole meatloaf. I don't think that's Eugene's style.
It looked good, though.
No, I was scared of that meatloaf. I didn't want to eat that meatloaf.
That was a great scene.
What about the Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah, that was in my notes too, was the haunted Teddy Ruxpin.
Right. And it was like, if you listen to the things that the Teddy Ruxpin says as she's burning it, it's like, I wouldn't do that to a friend or something. But the reveal at the end of the movie is the things that Teddy Ruxpin is saying were recorded from when her childhood with Eugene. So it was like, yes, those are the things that were said.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, then who did Eugene dig the old burned up creature out of the trash and throw it in the shower with her?
He must have.
Right, because there is no ghost. Yeah, there are,
there are aspects of this movie that once you find out there is no ghost and then you rewatch it, they don't quite work. Like the scene where Eugene drops the dental plate down the furnace so that she'll find the dental plate, and when it hits the bottom, the furnace door opens. And when you realize there's no ghost, like, what was the furnace door was just conveniently opening itself up for her.
It was a very heavy dental plate. I think that's
it was old school. Old school. They used steel back in the day.
Well, and that's the thing.
Oh, maybe her mom threw it in because she was like, bad had enough.
In retrospect, we know Eugene. By the way, I kept thinking about this. There was a made-for-TV movie in the early 70s
called Eugene.
Bad Ronald. Bad Ronald was the name of this movie. And it was about some kid. He was an awkward child. What happened is he was being
his bullied. Name was Ronald.
His name was Ronald. Exactly. Context clues. Something happened where he was being bullied and he accidentally like pushed somebody down and then they died. So he rushes home and his crazy mom basically seals him up in his room to protect him. Like basically wallpapers over the door.
Mom promptly had a heart attack. Is this an after school special?
It was after school special. It was mom, stop drinking. Attic. Daddy, don't touch me there. Absolutely. It was a, so she wallpapers over the door and then promptly dies. So no one. So later, a new family moves into the house, not ever questioning why, like, an entire wing just doesn't seem to exist, right? And then Ronald is creeping out of the holes and hello.
So anyway. It's that movie that we saw where there's a whole underground world underneath the Airbnb. Which one was that?
I have no idea. What movie are you talking about?
They go to Airbnb and the two people have the same night booked. And then there's creatures and freaks.
Oh, Barbarian.
Barbarian. Yes.
Okay.
That was a better description, yes. By the way.
Yes.
Oh, sweet Lord. Anywho, it just made me think of that because that's basically what this is. The dude is hiding. I mean, he's in the house for what, 15 years or
something? At least, if not longer than that.
Did you notice that his hair and his beard was not nearly long enough?
No, yeah. If he had been there for that long, he should have had a lot more hair and beard. I was thinking that. I was actually wondering if he occasionally just trimmed it. If they ever went on vacations where he could sneak out into the house long enough to, you know, get a trim in.
Well, he's not trimming his fingernails, for God's sakes. It was rough. It was rough. And I mean, what about the... He should have looked like one of the Morlocks from the Time Machine movie, frankly.
I don't know if he was just peeing in that jug, because that jug was chunky whenever they dumped it out.
That was awful. That was awful. And he must stink to high heaven. Hopefully he's sneaking down to take a shower every now and again, but somehow I don't think so.
No, he's got
that. It certainly doesn't seem like it.
He has got a bucket of potpourri right next to his computer, so no. It ain't good.
Well, and they established that he just has a pitcher of slop that he uses. So if he's not going down to take a dump, then, you know, basic hygiene out the window. So this is 15 years of fun.
Literally out the window. Is that how he's getting rid of it?
Dude, I had two sons, so none of this surprises me. I cannot tell you what I would find.
So... Eugene is the not quite adopted child of the creepy next door neighbor. Is that
who'll get drunk and beat him because he was taking apart animals and putting them back together?
Yes,
wrong.
Which we never get anything on because he's not doing that in Kylie's house whatsoever.
Well, he learned his lesson,
I guess. The guy beat him until he got the cloudy eye, and then he didn't have to put animals back together anymore.
And he was very magnanimous. He said, I shouldn't use the bicycle chain. And I'm kind of on board with that. Yeah, probably not, big guy.
Oh, my God. He was a monster. I have to. This brings me to one of the best parts of this movie, where when they think the neighbor's the murderer and she breaks into the house while he's asleep and sticks her hand into his mouth to unweld his plate, his partial.
Yeah.
She had to put in some heavy effort into that. I was like, what the hell?
I know. The first time I saw this movie and I was like, no, she's not going to go fishing for that.
She got her hand in there rooting around. Like, that's not going to wake anybody up.
But it was something like they established that some hooker came to live with him with her son.
Yes.
But then she left before the night was over and just left her son.
Stop and drop.
It was a big time stop and drop. Absolutely. And he just kept the kid. He's like, cool. Okay.
Yeah, sure. I got this kid now. He's quiet. He lives in the walls.
He fixes stuff.
Yeah.
And he lives in a tunnel, so I don't even have to do anything. Perfect child.
And he lives in like the Morlocks, like we said. Good grief.
I want to say, speaking of Eugene and his little setup,
yes.
For me... The fishing of the dental plate out of the old neighbor guy was good. For me, the best part of this movie is when they are in Eugene's little cubby hole and they know Dennis is coming. And Eugene says, I know a place we can hide. And he goes over to the corner and throws the sheet over himself.
That was a good moment.
I love that.
That was great. Until he got stabbed. And then
Yeah, he just keeps standing there and he gets impaled. Yeah.
Yes, there were some tonal shifts in this movie. There was a moment where she has taken a whiz And she keeps hearing like noises in the roof. It was the longest piss in recorded history.
And like, I'll be honest, maybe this is a male-female biological thing. Like, she could stop her piss for a substantial amount of time. Yes. Like, I can't do that.
No, you cannot.
It's an unpleasant feeling.
You're pot committed. No question.
It totally reminded me of when I lived in this apartment. I was on the ground floor and there was one floor above me with this couple. And we had slider doors into the bedroom, and it would freak me out because they would slide theirs and it sounded like mine. Mm. And then their husband would take like a 20-minute piss. It would be like, you're just looking up, and you're like, God, there's just no insulation in this apartment complex whatsoever.
Is this the apartment where you had the Fidelio parties, or is this how
Fidelio? Oh my
That's
god,
how we do it, no question. So, what was there was a scandal, and that's why her mom was able to buy this huge mansion essentially on the cheap,
right?
Yes, because there was a 15-year-old girl that was murdered.
And they never figured out who did the murder at the time. Is that correct?
Apparently not.
Although Kylie figures it out.
Well, they think it's creepy Eugene climbing in.
Right.
But
he doesn't
like,
have a partial.
That's the thing. But it never occurs to her. It's like he could have been planting evidence, right? He could have been framing somebody. Yeah.
Eugene, master criminal.
Because evidently, in New Zealand, every other person has a dental plate. No question. That's how they do it.
Yeah. Like what? A solid 20% of the characters in this movie have it.
And I don't think I've ever met someone in reality who has a dental plate. At least not that I'm aware of.
Mom used to get these
all the time.
Mom used to get these weird babysitters from the church when I was little. And they would always take their partial out. And show it to us because we're fascinated because it had like spaces and teeth and stuff. And then they'd wrap it in tissue and then eat. And you just stare at them while they were eating.
Is this from your time at the halfway house?
Is my time like being like 7 years old and staring at the crazy old cat ladies that our parents used to hire from the church to babysit us while they were at key parties or whatever the hell they were doing.
It always takes a dark turn. No question. Absolutely. I mean, is this a mystery? I mean, I don't know if anybody could have anticipated that the
Dennis is the killer.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
It's probably considered a mystery, but yeah, you're never going to piece together that it's Dennis unless you're just taking a blind stab at other characters in the movie who could possibly have been the killer.
Right. I mean, they think it's the dude next door.
Right.
Who's like, what does he do? He's like skinning possums or something. What kind of pictures do they have him?
Yeah.
And then like rendering them or something. I don't know. As a kangaroo and a wombat.
A wallaby.
And a cane toad.
A Tasmanian devil was in there. All the creatures and denizens.
Of Oceania.
Of Oceania.
He takes all kinds of critters to make Farmer Vincent's fritters.
Absolutely. So we think it's the dude. Then we think it's the dude in the walls, Eugene, essentially.
Dude Junior.
Yeah, the one who takes our animals apart. Not people, animals.
Well, what was it he said? He's like, until I caught him taking the arms off a Moogie. And I'm like, what? I had to Google it. I'm like, what are they talking about?
I was hoping that wasn't slang for some race of people.
Right! Ethnic slur? Or what's. I'm like, bro.
Like the indigenous people of New Zealand, he was taking their arms off.
That's what I'm saying!
I didn't want it to be the last king of Scotland at the end there. That was horrible.
See something, say something. Is all I'm saying. No question.
So, what is a Magoogie?
It's a cat. It's first of all, it's not a Magoogie. As if that's more ridiculous. In New Zealand, they have all sorts of interesting names for things. No question. So, yeah. I need a subtitle or something at that stage of the game. What else you guys got?
When she assaults him with the cheese grater.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going next. On a scale of 1 to 10, how terribly painful is cheese grater to the face?
It had to be really high, but it seemed like kind of a bizarre choice. I'm going to grate your face real quick while I'm here.
I like that she wears the cheese grater like a gauntlet, too.
That's how they do it. Now, I didn't see Evil Dead Rises, but evidently there's a cheese grater scene in that movie as well. Just a heads up.
Didn't we see that? It seems to me cheese grater greatest hits. That should be something that we need to work on our next show.
Well, and that's the thing. In an Evil Dead movie, a cheese grater probably is not done quite so artfully, I would argue. Sweet Lord. But yeah, there's a cheese grater. There's a corkscrew someone gets stabbed with. There was all sorts of craziness in this.
I like when they're trying to pull the corkscrew out of the guy because it's the only weapon they have available.
Awful. And I mean, the Dr. Dennis must have been like the Gray Man or something, because he was just dispatching homies left and right. The cops were just getting, he kills this dude, throws this dude in the shower. He was Jason Voorhees.
He does seem like he might be a little bit weak.
You would think. I mean, he's like probably 55.
Yeah, he's like a middle-aged dude. He's not in particularly great shape.
That's an understatement. Big old boiler hanging low. No, I mean, but he was handling his biz. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, the reality is if they just let it play out, probably the dude in the stairs would have ended up getting killed and he would probably just gone on to retire.
So now, she finds Eugene in the crawl space and then flees from him because he's scary as hell.
He's freaky and he lives in the walls.
And he chases her.
And he chases her. She goes through like the pantry, smashes through the wall to escape, leads the cops in there. But evidently what? There's like not just the drywall. He's got like a panel that he puts up.
Yes.
So
he fixed everything. So everything was back to normal.
Yes. I mean, he's got a lot of ingenuity.
He knows how to fix things.
He's been there a long time. He's played this game. He knows.
He knows. Now, they kept showing the picture of the killed girl. And I kept wondering, you know, who is this girl? And when you're an actor, I'm just going to be a picture for this movie.
Hey, you get a credit for that. What's the matter to you?
I don't think
dead
you get
body
your
bill on
card
Law and
for
Order,
that,
whatever. Or do you have to speak? You can't be dead body number 7.
What's more, I get a kick out of this every time because I always forget. The trailer for this movie, the thumbnail on the trailer is the picture of that girl.
Yes.
It's the least relevant picture from this movie you could have chosen to be the thumbnail for the trailer, and yet there it is. If you look up the trailer, that's the image.
Right, and it's like if you, because I, like I said, I went a few years before seeing this. I'm like, is this the movie? Because here's a picture of a character I don't recall.
Yeah.
You know, because it is. It's like a face-up photograph that you see a couple times.
Right? Of a blonde girl, yeah.
Of a blonde girl who's not the main character. Strange.
But they were billing it as a mystery. It was a build as a mystery, I think I saw.
Was it? It was like a horror comedy.
I mean, to be fair, the first Friday the 13th is billed as a mystery, and you have a 0% chance of solving that mystery.
It's true. That is kind of the Agatha Christie cheat, where the murderer is a new character you've never met before. Hey, yeah. It's me!
And then there were none, when everyone dies, and there's still the killer. And it's one of the dead people is the killer.
That's correct. That's Jason jumping up out of the stream and grabbing the girl in the canoe. Absolutely. So they cover all the bases in for the original Friday the 13th. Any last thoughts and feelings on this before we get behind the scenes?
I ain't done.
Oh, shit. Hit me.
All right. How about the end when they kill the doctor, mother's covered in blood, and they show Sister Gal, and she just opens her mouth and spits out a clump of meat.
Poof. Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yes, Bad Ronald handed her a meat fork, which was the murder weapon, evidently.
Yes,
back in the day. She stabs him up through, like, what is this?
Through the chin.
Through the chin.
Yeah.
And if that's not bad enough, Eugene had it hooked up to, I don't know, the outlet, and his head explodes.
Yep, bam. That's my note. Head explosion, the way all movies should end.
That's what it looked like, scanners.
Scanners, remember that? Every now and then I get angry at someone and I just kind of stare and just wait for their head to explode.
Give them a scan and see what happens.
Boom.
What could it hurt, right? Sweet Lord. No, that was something. Because it was like this movie, they say it's a horror comedy, but it's not like a knee slapper.
No.
There's no jokes. There aren't one-liners per se.
It's situationally funny. It's funny because of what happens. Exactly. It's funny because while Dennis is trying to kill her, she just shoves a laundry basket over his head and he gets stuck in it for like 30 seconds. Like, this man has no idea how to take a laundry basket off his head.
Well, it's like those old like Naked Gun where somebody would throw a pillow at Frank Drebin and he's like, oh! Right. It's good stuff. This movie is good stuff. That's all I can say.
I think they really yadda. You missed the very end. Please. They kind of yadda yadded over 7 months. Snap to Eugene still living in the crawl space. Like the battery's dead on the video recorder, and they're like, Eugene!
Right.
So I was kind of happy they let him continue on living in the crawl space.
What we don't. Bucket. What we don't see in that 7 months that they yada yada over is Graham has to come from home from the hospital and they have to explain to him like, oh, hey, let's tell you what's been going on since Kylie stabbed you.
Since Kylie murdered you almost.
Yes. And they just left her in the house.
Yes.
Nothing came from that. She's going to tell some crazy story about monsters after her. Yeah. She stabs her stepfather. And mom's cool. They all believe it. The police don't follow up. Good enough.
That's how they do it in New Zealand.
This could have happened to anyone.
Well, she was trying to get out of the house. And they said, if you prove that you're a danger to yourself or to others, she stabbed a dude. She stabbed him.
She's officially a danger to others. I don't know. I don't know how much more of a danger to others you need to be.
Exactly.
They never would have put her back in that house. And her mom was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, my crazy meth head daughter is now trying to stab my silent husband. So, got to go. This is your out, lady.
Good
She's
time.
Like, I'll make up a story, but you have to give me the remote control.
Because I want to watch Coventry Road.
It's our night. And she just turns it all the way up.
That was some shit.
Yeah.
She picked up the remote and you think she's gonna be like, okay, it's fine. No.
And she just turns the volume up.
I would have just yanked the cord out of the TV.
I was
and
enraged.
Off with it. I was enraged too. I was gonna punch you.
I was like, you gotta call somebody. This is out of hand, man. No question. Shall we go behind the scenes?
All right. Now you can go behind the scenes.
Thank you. Won the Fresh Blood Audience Award in 2014 at Germany's Fantasy Film Festival.
Ooh.
Really? I figured Germans like something a little darker, but maybe that's just my prejudice.
I think in their personal lives they do. I don't know about the cinema. You know what I mean? No offense, Germany.
Well, there was some excrement in this, so maybe that...
Oh, here it comes. Aaron always takes it just a little too far.
The Scheitzer videos.
That's correct. The Hello Moto song played frequently in the movie as an old Motorola ringtone, just like you said.
Yeah.
Like, really old, evidently. The film's official site stated that the movie's actress, Rima Tewiyada, who played the mom, made her first big screen comedy comeback in over 15 years with this movie.
Because what was she in before that?
She was in other things. I know what's interesting is I had seen her in something else. I saw Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought she was from. Okay.
That was after like a year or so after this.
Yes.
Movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another Taika Waititi movie that he did.
Really good. With Sam Neill.
With Sam Neill. Absolutely. And the kid from Deadpool.
Yes.
Deadpool 2, excuse me. The location of the house is a little bit of the mystery because the characters say it's on the Twin Coast Highway,
right,
which means they're somewhere north of Auckland. But the library books show a postcode of 4702, which is much further south in Fielding.
Those bastards. Now continuity.
The
movie, it's
now
ruined.
The movie's ruined for me.
It's ruined!
Yes.
Thanks, Kevin.
Sorry. I got to do my job. I'm just asking questions.
Is the Easter Bunny dead too?
The picture's official site described this horror comedy as a high concept film with a very low budget.
High concept? I'm not sure about that.
And this is the debut theatrical film written and directed by television director Gerard Johnstone. And he's done
He's only done one other movie. Do you know what it is?
I feel like we saw it recently, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Lay it on me. What is it?
Megan!
Oh!
I saw this movie like 2 years ago. I saw that it was the only movie he ever directed. And I was like, what, whatever happened to this guy? Housebound was amazing. He needs to do another movie. And then, yeah, this year, or at least very, very late last year, he came out with Megan.
And Aaron disagrees. Megan is a goddamn masterpiece.
I don't hate Megan.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. I liked it well enough, but I don't think it's a masterpiece.
Oh, how dare you?
It's high art. High art.
No, I mean,
high concept. I'm sorry.
Look, the films we discuss are a certain type. So within the confines of the genre films, I think it is quite good. Perhaps I overstated it. It's not Shakespeare.
Well, okay then. Megan or Housebound?
Housebound.
Yeah, Megan. I agree with that.
Megan. Boom. Although I do like Housebound. We'll talk about our ratings. Let's talk about the cast. Let's see. We talked about Rima Tewiata. She plays Miriam Bucknell. You know her from Housebound, Hunt for the Wilder People. She was in a TV series, 13 episodes of Shark in the Park. You know it.
Shark in the Park.
Is that where the Sharknado touches down in a park?
Could be. It's from 89 to 90. And she was in the TV movie in 97, HMS Pinafore. She played Mrs. Cripps. So there you go.
I only know from that episode of The Simpsons.
Is HMS Pinafore related to Pirates of Penzance? Can anybody answer me this question?
They're very similar, but that also reminds me of the hand who rocks the cradle because he was always playing Pinafore.
Because wasn't the HMS Pinafore in the Pirates of Penzance? Am I crazy?
Perhaps. Yes.
I mean, in general.
Not in this case, but let's see. Morgana O'Reilly, which is a very interesting name, played Kylie Bucknell. You know her from such things as Housebound. She was in 7 episodes of The Sounds in 2020.
This is some New Zealand
this
shit.
This is all some New Zealand shit. She was in 8 episodes of a TV miniseries Inside in 2020. 2020 is a good year for her. And 24 episodes of Mean Mums from 2019 to 2022.
2020 needed to be a good year for somebody. Might as well have been her.
No question. One thing that I discovered that was kind of interesting, Cameron Rhodes played Dennis, the psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever he was. He was Farmer Maggot in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, good for him.
Yes, if you don't know who Farmer Maggot is, he's the guy who's always kind of scowling when Gandalf walks by as he's like... doing shit in his yard. He didn't have any monologues or anything, but he did his job. He was also in Deathgasm, which was
okay.
2015.
Is that a porn?
No.
An Australian?
Surprisingly not.
It's a horror film. Also, I saw that on Joe Bob back in the day. It's quite good, if I remember correctly. And he was the voice of the Griffin in the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Okay.
So there you go. Good times had by all. Let's talk about the ratings.
Wait a minute.
What?
Who was the Eugene? What the fuck? You just
my bad.
That.
You're
what
right.
The, what This is a situation.
Eugene was played by Ryan Lamp. I didn't pick him because he doesn't have a picture on IMDb. So
it should just be a picture of Eugene.
Absolutely. He was Eugene in Housebound. He was in the short Interrupted as Billy in 2013. He was in one episode of the TV series The Amazing Extraordinary Friends in 2007. And he was in two episodes of Terry Teo, playing the character Blue, I guess.
Oh.
Shocking. Well, he has like two lines in this movie. If you're joining us at home, audience, we've been having technical difficulties all night. I don't
want to,
but I'm going to.
Hopefully all these segues between segments are just as seamless as we're making it sound.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like Oscar-winning editing going on here. Sweet Lord. Okay, let's go discuss the rating for Housebound. Currently, Housebound is 96% fresh.
Wow.
On Rotten Tomatoes. Boom! Do you know what the audience gave it? Take a while.
I would guess 87.
74.
73.
Oh, wow.
I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll, absolutely. Let's look at the top critics, shall we? Let's see. Tom Hiddleston from Time Out.
Tom Hiddleston?
That's what I always say. Loki's diving in? He did that shit Crimson Peak. He ain't got nothing to say.
Sad but true. First-time director Gerard Johnstone may not possess the wild visual invention of his patron Peter Jackson, but he's
compared to Peter Jackson. Let me translate that.
But he's ruthlessly proficient at old-school scares. 4 out of 5. Boom. Let's see. Sheila O'Malley from RogerEbert.com. An extremely confident and promising debut. 3 out of 4. Not bad. I'm trying to see if there's any like top critics that I recognize.
Like real top critics? No.
Rex Reed says, I'm in love. No, it's not. That was from, it was the best of Eddie Murphy, Saturday Night Live. It was like Buckwheat Sings. And one of the critics was Rex Reed says, I'm in love. Yeah. Good times. Okay. Mike McHale from The Guardian. Johnstone is one to watch. 3 out of 5. I guess that's a compliment.
Series of words.
Maybe he
together.
Was. Maybe he was trying to warn us that he thinks Johnstone's a killer.
One to watch. Exactly. He needs to be on a watch list.
I think that's what he was saying.
Aaron, what is your rating for Housebound?
I really enjoyed it, but I have rated a bunch of movies like 4 that are just a little bit better than this. So I'm going to give this 3.87 shitting in a jug out of 5.
Stu, what do you got?
So I was on Letterboxd and I was so torn between giving this a 4.5 and a 4, and neither of them felt exactly right to me. So I've got to go 4.25. It's right in between those. A 4 feels a little too low. A 4.5 feels a bit too high, but I really enjoy this and I think it's really well made. So 4.25 for me.
That's fair. I think we're all kind of knocking on the same door. Yeah. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 of the million New Zealand tooth plates or whatever those things are called. They corner the market. What are they called? Dental plates.
Dental plate. That's what they call them in the movie.
A partial.
Yeah, exactly.
They got that socialized medicine, so there's no dental implants there.
No, yeah, you just have to have crazy teeth. And people just love it. They're just popping them out.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to have some gross, some crackers or biscuits or something. I'm just going to pop it out.
Why am I paying dentist all that money? He's just going to pull it out with pliers anyway.
It's like if you wear a toupee in New Zealand, just pull it off all the time. I don't know how it works. Anywho, no, it's this is a good movie. I'm frankly, this is a movie for everyone, I'd argue, up until the head exploding scene.
I could agree with that. Something for
up
the family.
Until that moment.
Maybe after Easter dinner, you sit down with the family.
If you hate Teddy Ruxpin and ever wanted to see one burn to death, it's for you.
We had a Teddy Ruxpin. My little brother and sister had a crazy Teddy Ruxpin. And by the end, it had a, like, its eyeball and like, it was like Five Nights at Freddy.
I was going to say, it's Five Nights at Freddy. That's where it all came from.
No, but other than the head exploding scene in the last few minutes, I think this is like a Halloween classic. You know what I mean? It's like, gather around, pop it in. It's funny. It's creepy. It kind of rounds all the bases. So yeah. I would definitely recommend it.
And don't preface it at all. Don't tell anybody ever, because I was expecting the worst.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was going to be like some A24 stuff. We're going to have to process it afterwards. But it was not that.
You thought it was Ari Aster? Is that what you're saying?
No, let me in. Let me in.
It's all a horror story. So, thank you very much. Go to our page on, I keep saying Twitter, and I'm going to keep saying it, Elon. How you like them apples? We're on Twitter. By the way, if Elon starts charging for Twitter, I'm bouncing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Out. But I think he sends those feelers out there and says stupid ass shit just so when he doesn't end up doing that, we all think it's better. Because he's already ruined. He's already ruining the site, so now just we expect everything to get worse. So whenever he floats these terrible ideas and doesn't do it, like remember a few months ago when he said he was going to remove the ability to block people when everyone got in an uproar? And then it didn't happen, so we all give him credit for not doing something stupid.
Well, where's my credit for not killing three people a day?
I give you credit for that. The crazy, I don't know why we're talking about this, but he has done the unthinkable. He's got me running into the arms of frickin' Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. I mean, what is happening in this world? Anywho, we're on that site. We're also on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, as I said, Threads. You may be watching us on YouTube, possibly.
Maybe.
So, who's to say? You can also email us at the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. Aaron, what are you up to? What's your social media?
Oh, Jesus, God. I am annoyed at all my own social media. I'm barely checking it except for, you know, my compulsive TikTok. I gotta keep seeing what's on the TikTok.
And bizarre, what is it, Eastern European model sliding into your DMs, trying to say, hey, are you a gentleman over 32? I appreciated that.
Yeah, so bizarre. That's, no, 99% I get the, hey, how are you? Are you looking to promote your podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they get you on that. I'm always very wary when somebody's just like, hi.
Oh, yeah. Someone's like, hi, I'm like, no. And then it was like, do you want to join the Illuminati?
Well, obviously, yes, I want
that.
You gotta
lead with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I fell for that on Instagram recently. Somebody friended me and it looked like they were, you know, somebody creative.
Right.
So I like to support other creative individuals. And they led with like a, hey, how are you message? And I was like, but... You know, it seems friendly enough. Maybe they're just trying to make acquaintances or connections. And so I responded back like, oh, I'm well. How are you? And then here came the like, I'm a graphic designer. Do you need me to make a new logo for you? No, I don't. Go be away.
F*** off. Yeah.
Elsewhere.
I get all the fake artistic people, too. You'll notice that they're following 20,000 people, but about 30 of them are following them back. And then you look at their bullshit generic pictures on there, and you're like, pass.
So that being said, Stu, what's your social media situation?
I haven't done mine yet!
Oh, Jesus Christ, Aaron. Go ahead.
I am on the Instagram. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am also Don't Feed the Pigeon. I'm on, you know, the platform formerly known as X. I'm on Threads.
It's currently known as X.
Shut up. You're going to make the computer crash again. Professionally, I'm on Artsy and First Dibs. So go buy some of my Polaroid shit. Boom.
Beautiful. Stu, what's going on with you and your show, man?
So the show is the Stu World Order podcast. You guys have both been on it. Every episode I have guests on and we review a random comic book movie. The website, swoproductions.com. We have new articles every single weekday. And I am on all the social medias at or not at, depending how the social media works, as SWO Productions.
And we'll include your link in the show notes as well. So check that out. Bro, you are prolific.
I put a lot of work into that website. The podcasting I love, the podcasting is easy as cake compared to the website, man. So listen to the podcast. That's great. Definitely go to the website. I put a lot of work into articles every single Wednesday. There's lists. There's some fiction on there. There's me reviewing every flavor of Pop-Tarts I can get my hands on. There's all kinds of nonsense on the website.
Absolutely. The multiple Jasons theory.
The multiple Jasons theory.
Absolutely. So
I was just
going to
comment. Why don't we have a website with articles? Kevin, you're really lagging.
Is you going to write them?
What the hell? I'm more of an ideas person.
Sweet Jesus.
I'm sure we can AI to generate some bullshit.
Some
we can post
GPT?
It out there. Some chat
GPT. No question. Each week, we try to share some listener, viewer mail responding to our nonsense. At WShane23 on Twitter, responding to our Sentinel episode, The Sentinel. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Check it out.
He says, saw this one on TV one night in 1979. He's very specific, by the way.
You know incredibly, your trauma.
Exactly. He wrote it in his journal. Incredibly eerie, especially for a 9-year-old. Yes, it would be. When I went to bed to get into bed that night, my mom had been fixing my curtains and left a chair in front of my window. I freaked out and obviously slept in the other room that night. So good to know.
So I'm not sure. Oh, the chair from the dude looking out. So he thought the old priest was in his room?
I guess. I mean, the priest is not the villain in that movie, right? I don't know.
You know, if you look at all these horror movies, there's always a chair involved. So
absolutely.
We got to get rid of the chairs.
In the chair, rocking in the corner.
The absolutely. Clown and Poltergeist sitting in a chair.
Yep. Chairs equal scares.
It's what they do. Chairs equal.
Hashtag.
On my tombstone. Chairs equal scares. Absolutely. That sounds like a deranged like movie executive. Don't you know that chairs equal scares?
You gotta have a cigar in your mouth.
Brandy snifter. Absolutely. Anywho, sweet Jesus. Next week, we're going back to Dario Argento's Giallo films. We're doing, and I'm going to mess up the title, Four Flies on Grey Velvet?
I thought you were going to say it in Italian.
Good luck. Good luck. So check that out.
Where might we find that?
That's an excellent question. You may find it on Plex for free.
Oh, right. Nice.
I don't know if it's in its original Italian. Who's to say? It'll be a potpourri, if you will. A mystery. Like Eugene in the closet. He's not even in the closet. Wherever the hell Eugene is. It could be some situation like that. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may talk about it on the show. So thank you very much. Thank you, Stu, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And putting up with our bullshit.
Putting up with our bullshit. Absolutely. And be well.